Absolutely. It's the highest level talent that you can acquire. For us, this is not a decision for one night. This is a multi-year decision, and we want to make sure that we have not only the best player, but the best person with the most upside. And that takes a lot of diligence. That takes a lot of time. We've been fortunate through this pandemic that we've had more than enough time to prepare for this decision.
Gerson Rosas, he is the president of basketball operations with the Minnesota Timberwolves, as they have the number one pick in tonight's NBA draft. The Warriors have the 2 pick, the Hornets the 3rd pick, the Bulls the 4th, the Cavs have the 5th. NBA draft tonight, later than it's ever been, because normally we'd be, you know, just getting underway with really the regular season in NBA, so it's a little bit different, and these kids have waited a very long time to hear their name called on draft night. Yes. Just 2 rounds of the NBA draft. Avon Dotson, Udoka Azubuike, we'll find out if they get drafted tonight. I would imagine one, if not both, are drafted. I don't know if either will go in the first round. I would highly doubt Azubuike would. Dotson, maybe. They both had good combines. I just don't know. Udoka's just in the wrong time. He's the wrong generation of NBA, because if he was like he is now in the 80s or even early to mid-90s, he'd be probably a top 5 pick, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different game now, no question about it. All right, local sports, Dusty, what you got?
Yeah, not a lot right now, other than we're still rolling through with high school football playoffs coming up on Friday night. So we remind everybody to stay tuned for two-way playoff semifinals with Beloit hosting Hoisington on Friday night. And pregame coverage will begin at 5:30, kickoff at 6 o'clock for that matchup. Wade and Todd will have the call there at Trojan Field, and also it'll be online video stream at ncksports.com with the Beloit Trojan channel, and then right here on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. So that's coming up on Friday night, and also if you want the full brackets for all the playoff matchups, they're all posted at ncksports.com. You can go back and look at all of our all-league, all-district football teams, KVA All-State, all-league volleyball. It's all posted there right at your fingertips at ncksports.com.
All right. Beloit hasn't lost a game in, 28 days, and Hoisington has lost a game in 363 days.
Yes.
Last loss for Hoisington was the sub-state semifinals. That's right, state semifinals. A year ago, on the road at Norton, this is the 4th time in 5 years Hoisington's been in the state semifinals. They're 0 for previous 3. And all those games have been on the road, which probably adds to their frustration that they have to come here to Beloit. Should be an interesting game. We'll talk a lot more about it coming up later this week, tomorrow and on Friday. And I can tell you that there are still tickets available for the game. There are approximately 200 tickets available for the public to the sub-state final, the state semis in 2A between Beloit and Hoisington at Trojan Field in Beloit. Having a ticket allows you to pay cash admission at the gate for the game. These are first come, first serve. Each individual requesting tickets is limited to 4. You can call the office at Beloit High or come to the west doors of the high school. If calling the office, you will have until Thursday at 3 o'clock to pick up your tickets. So if you want to go to the game, there are tickets still available. There's a limited amount of tickets, as you can imagine, because of the spacing and everything else and Acacia regulations when it comes to postseason play. You need to wear your mask at all times unless you're eating, drinking. Basically, that's it. Of course, us radio guys will be able to take our mask off to actually announce, but pretty much you need to have it on all times. Earlier in the year in Beloit, it was, you know, you went to the concession stand restroom area, you had to put it on. But if you're out in the stands, you know, you're with friends and family, but you're supposed to keep it on the whole time. Coming up on Friday, we even know that you're sitting out in the stands, so people need to remember that.
And that's a Acacia deal there.
That's what I just said.
I didn't hear that part of it.
Acacia regulations, yes, because it is their postseason tournament. They host. Yeah. They're the ones putting it on. And speaking of that, Michigan County Hospital Health Systems has a release. 2 residents in the Resident Care Center have tested positive. They have 5 positive patients in the COVID unit, 3 positive patients in the special care unit, and there have been 2 special care unit patients who have died who are COVID-19 positive. Those were admissions from out of state. So things are getting a little bit tight in regards to space there at Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems. And if you were at a wedding that took place in Beloit on November 7th, that has been linked to multiple positive patients over the past week and a half. Due to the number of positive cases resulting from this event, the Kansas Department of Health and Environment has deemed it to fit outbreak criteria. So if you attended that wedding on November 7th in Beloit and are showing any symptoms of COVID-19, please isolate at home, call your doctor if you feel you need to, be medically evaluated. So we need to really try to nip this in the bud, folks. Whether you believe in masks or not, maybe we should just try it. Maybe we should just try it, and if you haven't already. So we'll see how it works out. But it's going in the wrong direction right now for really basically the whole country, and we're not really getting any kind of direction from the folks in certain places in this country to really get us to go somewhere. Okay, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. because, yeah, anyway, I have so many things I'd like to say, but I just won't. Okay, the NBA draft tonight, who do you think should be the number one overall pick? To me, it's easy. Anthony Edwards.
That's what I think, too.
I think LaMelo Ball is overrated. Oh, I think he's a really good player, but he's not a great shooter. Wiseman doesn't fit the NBA. I mean, he'll be fine in NBA, but you don't take a seven-footer. The game's different. You take a perimeter player that can score, and Anthony Edwards can score. And Antetokounmpo's already have Derrick Rose. They have a point guard. They have Karl Anthony Towns. They don't really need another big guy. They don't need LaMelo Ball. I think Anthony Edwards is the clear pick for the Timberwolves tonight, unless they trade out.
I agree with that.
Okay, so we're at their agreement. And then two, Warriors. Do Warriors take Ball or take Wiseman? I think I'd take Wiseman.
Probably Wiseman, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Or trade out of it. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Top 14 picks based on mock draft projections. Dotson and Ozebuki not in the top 14, which we anticipated.
Most of them have Dotson early second round.
Yeah.
I've
seen Ozebuki mid to late second round as the best as well. All right, let's get to the top story here. Greg Marshall resigned yesterday as Wichita State men's basketball coach nearly 3 months into an investigation that he physically and verbally abused players. Marshall, who brought the Shockers back to national relevance in reaching the 2013 Final Four and won the most games in program history during his 13 seasons, reached an agreement with Wichita State that will pay him $7.75 million over 6 years just to leave. This was a difficult decision, Marshall said in the school release, but one I feel was necessary for my family, the university, and most importantly, the student athletes. I remain grateful for my years spent at Wichita State. I wish to thank the coaches, student athletes, the university, the community, and all of Shocker Nation for their unending dedication, support, and loyalty. I'm incredibly proud of this men's basketball program and all it has achieved over the past 14 years. I'm confident of its continued success. The decision comes 8 days before the start of Wichita State's basketball season and closes an investigation into allegations made against Marshall by former players that he punched a player, put his hands around the throat of an assistant coach, and used demeaning language and personal, cultural, and racial insults. Wichita State hired St. Louis-based law firm Tooth Keeney on August 25th to conduct the investigation. Here's a key point. Wichita State will not release the results of the investigation, the university spokesperson said, because they are considered confidential. Well, isn't that convenient? It's the end of the most successful 13-year run in Wichita State history. Marshall won 73% of his games. They won the NIT championship, Final Four in 2013, 7 straight appearances in the NCAA tournament, and he was also instrumental in Wichita State, the whole university, leaving for all their sports to go to the American Athletic Conference from the Missouri Valley. Athletic Director Darren Boatwright said in the release, "Our student athletes are our primary concern. While the university acknowledges the success of the basketball program under Coach Marshall, this decision is in the best interest of the university, its student athletes, and the Wichita State community. Wichita State will continue its pursuit of excellence with the help of its student athletes, staff, and loyal supporters of the basketball program." End of quote. Allegations against Marshall went public in an October 9th report by Stadium when former player Shaquille Morris claimed that Marshall struck him twice during October 2015 practice, and they saw Marshall choke former assistant coach Kyle Linstead during a practice from the 16-17 season. Teammate Ty Taylor confirmed Morris's story in the Stadium report. There are other players that have stepped up as well, but they wanted to remain anonymous. Five other players besides Morris and Taylor from the Wichita State 15-16 team independently told the Wichita Eagle that Marshall hit Morris, while eight others from the 16-17 team told the Wichita Eagle that Marshall put his hand around Linstead's throat. Isaac Brown, Wichita State's longest tenured assistant, will serve as the interim coach until Wichita State will find a full-time replacement, or perhaps that will be Isaac Brown, but odds are they're not going to get a long-term replacement, you know, right now. It'll be for next season, I would imagine. So there we are. I've got lots of questions about this. We're going to ask a lot of them, Chris Lilly. My first question, of course, is, you know, why the allegations popped up now? Why didn't this come up with Shaq Morris back in 16, 15, 16, 17, 18, whatever? Mm. Why now? That's a question. What about, does the silence from the recent Wichita State star players like Ron Baker, Fred Van Fleet, and Landry Shamet, does that say anything? Did Greg Marshall take his play angry motto too far to where it became his own persona? Mm-hmm. And also, is it true that Marshall and his lawyers didn't accept a $2 million settlement and pushed for the $7.75 million figure? And Dan Wetzel at Yahoo Sports makes a very interesting point. If Wichita State had any courage, it would have just fired Marshall and begged a lawsuit that might have aired all the dirty laundry that could prevent another school from employing him in the future. And that will happen. He's won too much. He will get another job somewhere. And Marshall, some reporter at Wichita somehow caught up with Marshall. He said he couldn't comment, but he was going to the beach. Yeah. How convenient.
Yeah.
How convenient. No apology, no reference to the investigation by Greg Marshall. There's an op-ed by, I think, at Kansas.com Suzanne Perez says that Wichita State wants to regain credibility with current and future students, coaches, faculty members in the community. It should make the results of its investigation public. Will there be more legal ramifications for the university and Greg Marshall? That'll be interesting to see as well. We got lots of questions for Chris Lilly, sports director, Cake TV. He'll join us coming up in about 10 minutes to talk about the Greg Marshall situation. This to me seems somewhat pretty clear. Wichita State is scared about the dirty laundry that'll be aired by Greg Marshall. And Wichita State knows they didn't do anything, and they turned the other cheek, the other eye. They turned away and didn't address this when they should have. And Wichita State's scared of what Greg Marshall may bring out, and they said, you know what, we'll go ahead. It's worth $7.75 million for you to go away.
And I think Wichita State knows they can find boosters to help pay that $7.75 million to make them go away.
True. Yeah.
And I think that made it easy for them
to
do that part of it, too.
Yeah, and I
think people know who the boosters are in Wichita.
Right.
The names on the arena.
Coke, yes. The Coke brothers, yes.
Yes.
They've got that in their back pocket. Listen, North Carolina State, with Mark Gottfried, they didn't give him his buyout, and they said, you know, come and get it.
Yeah.
And Mark Gottfried hadn't come and got it.
Yeah.
So they could have saved themselves the money. But if it is the Coke brothers that are providing this or whatever big donor, and Wichita State's not actually paying for it, then why do they care? It's not their money.
Yeah.
And then you can save face for the university, because I don't think there's any doubt Wichita State University dropped the ball on this one. You know why? Because he won. And this is what we've seen at other institutions. At the University of Kansas, they didn't care that Mark Mangino was berating his players until they lost.
Yeah.
And the only reason Wichita State's doing anything now is because somebody did good journalism and found out that Marshall hit his players, or hit at least one player. And I don't care if it happened once. That should never happen.
No.
You shouldn't have to hit your players to get them to do what they should do. And if you've gone that far, you've lost it, and that's not good. So, and then once again, these are allegations, but when you have so many players backing this up,
yeah.
And these star players that haven't said a word to defend Greg Marshall, and it's funny because the people that support Greg Marshall go, well, that means that they support Greg Marshall. No, it doesn't. Because usually in these situations, those guys will come out and support the coach.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't, that silence actually points the other side, that they are on the side of their teammates, their players. They usually come to the defense of the coach. You could play it either way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people could say, why don't they come to the defense of their former teammates? Or in some cases, they weren't necessarily former teammates, depending on the years. Of course, with Baker and Van Fleet and all that, they were already gone. Shamit would have been as part of this group, though.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting. Three guys have played in NBA, two they're certainly currently in NBA. But Ron Baker said, let me see if I've got it here. Ron Baker did put a quote out on Twitter. What's done is done. Put differences aside on the situation. Come together. Starting today and moving forward, priority and our support needs to be on the players and coaches we have on campus. That, to me, doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement for Greg Marshall from Ron Baker.
No. Not
so, at all. And so he knows what's going on. So anyway, we'll see what happens here. But it's, you know, and of course, with anything like this, it becomes a political thing. Well, Greg Marshall won so many games, and now what are we going to do? Listen, if you had to win games doing it that way, then you sold out to the devil. If these allegations are true. If they're true. And here's the thing, the big thing that people are upset about. So because he resigns, the investigation's just over? Just like that, we drop everything? Or we say it's closed, and then we don't reveal any kind of results of this? Then you're covering up abuse. You're covering up verbal and physical abuse. It's a cover-up. That's what that is. That's a cover-up. So when you say our student or athletes are our primary concern, don't you think it would behoove you to go ahead and get all this taken care of, which they just feel like Marshall's the whole problem, so he's gone? What if other people on his staff that are still with Wichita State, some of that trickles down? Maybe got a clean house completely. I don't know, but it just rots. The whole situation rots. Would you agree?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think there's a lot of things that Wichita State did here that a lot of universities would do, like in this situation.
NC State didn't.
What I'm talking about is a winning coach like Greg Marshall,
right.
and you know, they're thinking, hey,
okay,
this
but let me stop you right there.
I
don't want to even hear that part, and here's why. I understand where you're coming. I don't want to be rude, but that is a cop out.
I'm not saying I support
I know,
it.
I know, but that's what Wichita supporters of Greg Marshall say. Like, well, other universities do this. Well, okay, so if one university jumps off a cliff, are you going to do it too? I mean, it's called leadership. It's called doing what's right. And it took somebody to break the news and bust the university and Greg Marshall about what he's done for this to even happen. If Jeff Goodman and Stadium doesn't do this investigative reporting, Greg Marshall's still berating his players or doing whatever he's doing right now. Nobody even knows about it. I bet you Wichita State already knew about it.
And you know, I
so
can't,
you're enabling a guy in power. You're enabling a guy in power. Why? Because he's winning. But if he loses, just like Mark Mangino. I've said this to the day.
Did we get
the day
a full investigation on Mark Mangino?
Mark Mangino, there was no major talk, anything about anything he did to his players until they lost 7 games in a row.
Yeah.
They were 5-0 the year he got fired, ranked in the top 15. The year before they went to the Orange Bowl, nobody talked about that. Maybe secretly, privately, they knew what was going on. Everybody, Mark Mangino just didn't suddenly become this huge, horrible bully after 5 games and when they started losing. So when you win, it covers up almost everything. We have seen this in sports and many other institutions. Players the same way. Players get away. I get your point. Yeah. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that is not the way. That is a cop-out.
Oh, 100%.
Somebody needs to change the narrative. Somebody has to have the guts and the gumption to say, you know what? We know this isn't right. We know there's a problem here. And it shouldn't take an investigative report. Listen, Texas Tech had to force out their women's coach because somebody had to break the story, and players had to go outside the university. Players, women's players, went to the University of Texas Tech, went to the highest people, and they basically blew off everything. And so the players' only recourse was to go to the media and air this dirty laundry, and then they get rid of the coach. That's baloney.
100%
agree. When the athletic director Darren Buttright says our student athletes are our primary concern. Since when?
Yeah.
Since the investigation came out with Jeff Goodman breaking the news story, that's when you cared. But you don't. I mean, it's just hypocrisy, is what it is.
Oh, and I'm not.
And it's not just. In fairness to you, it's not just Wichita
State.
That's
what
you're right.
Saying, yeah.
You're right. But you know what? Not every university has to follow everybody else like lemmings. Somebody can step out of line and go, you know what? This is wrong. We're going to take care of this. We're done with this. We know he's won a lot. We know it's a tough decision. We might not win as much, but by golly, we've lost how many players leaving this program? It's going the wrong direction anyway. And you now start to wonder why people didn't seriously go after Greg Marshall when he was one that should have been a hot commodity then. There should have been all kinds of universities asking for him to coach. They didn't. Why not? Because they knew something was going on there.
It's not hard to figure out with the mass exodus that he's had more than once in his program.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. It's happened multiple
times. There's important players to his team that have left.
Yes.
Multiple years. This was not just a past offseason deal where he had 8 or 9 guys leave or whatever.
Right.
I mean, Austin Reeves was playing all the time and was scoring a lot of points for that team.
A really good player that's at Oklahoma doing well there.
See you later. I'm going to Oklahoma.
Exactly.
He was willing to sit out an entire year of basketball, mm-hmm. playing probably at the top of his game at that point, to just be like, nah, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be part of this team. This was not this summer. This was 3 years ago, right?
Eric Stevenson here recently.
And
was their top player.
Was
he transferred last year, and he actually went to the media and talked about how things aren't right.
Yeah, and I mean, this is not something that
this is not a 1 year thing.
Like why Greg Marshall hasn't gotten a bigger job? You know,
right?
Everybody's like, everybody in Wichita wants to hide behind, oh, he loves Wichita.
That's
he wants
baloney.
To stay here. Nobody loves Wichita State that much if they can go to a Big 12 ACC, SEC job, right?
But he didn't have a lot of offers out there, and he should have. That's the thing that
that's what, when Frank Martin went to South Carolina, his name was one of them that was like, well, Greg Marshall would fit better than Frank Martin name-wise and history-wise and what he's done, mm-hmm. where he's from, and everything that goes into that. And a lot of people were talking about it back then.
Think about the primary jobs been open over the last so many years. Very Marshall, UCLA has been one. Indiana, those are blue bloods.
Yeah.
And people would always mention Marshall, but there never was any traction whatsoever. No. The only one that had a little bit of traction was him to Alabama. That was it. Mm-hmm. And Alabama, you want to talk about universities that don't really worry too much about some of this stuff.
Yeah.
It would be the SEC. And I know that from people that I know have dealt with the SEC when I covered junior college basketball at Iowa Western. I can tell you for a fact there's all kinds of corruption with the coaching ranks of the SEC. And probably every university, or not every university, but every conference probably.
Nobody's immune to this stuff.
No, they're not. I mean,
they're just not.
They're not.
We can pretend that people are.
And this
doing
happens
the right
at every
things,
level. It happens at college, pro, and high school. I guarantee it does. Where guys or coaches are berating their players, or even maybe, you know, physically doing something to them, which is just, you know, God help us. But
yeah, because I mean, did they release results of any investigation for Mark Mangino, or did they just call it good when they got rid of him?
Well, they didn't hire a firm outside to do a big investigation. That's what this has become. Okay, it's a different situation in regards to that.
And I didn't know I don't remember the
whole
situation.
Once again, that's verbally abusive. There was no physical. Yeah. There was no Greg Martin. There was no Mark Mangino hit his players. Yeah. I don't remember any of that.
Yeah.
Well, he might not have been in
camp. Other than making him do it, he didn't actually do it.
Right.
Like making bear crawl on hot turf and stuff like that. Or army crawl on hot turf and things like that. He did not inflict it himself.
Right. Anyway, more on this with Chris Lilly coming up in here in just a few minutes.
None of it's good. There's no part of it that...
K-State game against Iowa State in jeopardy, possibly. Chris Klieman says numbers are low at K-State practices right now, but as long as the team's COVID tests go well today and Friday, it sounds like the team's on track to play Saturday. He says that tight end Bradley Moore is probably a game-time decision, heading in the right direction. KU and K-State have revised their fan attendance policies because of the increase in COVID-19 cases. KU and K-State will now prohibit fans from attending any kind of sporting event for the rest of the month of November. That impacts women's basketball for both KU and K-State. It affects KU football, although who is going to a game anyway to watch the team this year? And then the volleyball teams as well. It does not affect the K-State football game as Texas on December the 5th, although they are going to reevaluate that come that time. K-State Athletics continues to plan for 25% capacity of basketball games, but they'll have to wait and decide what they want to do in the month of December. So this is mainly, it's just athletics here. It does affect the men's basketball game on November 30th in Manhattan and the women's game on November 29th. So there are some basketball games there for K-State that's affected.
That Wildcat Classic that they're going to have, too.
Right, The KU women are affected, but the KU men don't have any home games at Allen Fieldhouse in the month of November. So keep that in mind. And the Chiefs have signed a defensive back. Very interesting story here. It's amazing to me how people don't want to take the time to read anything, and they just say the Chiefs signed another real bad person. Former New York Giants cornerback DeAndre Baker is going to find a new home. Charges were dropped on Monday against him. He's scheduled for a visit in the coming days, and barring a snag, he'll be a Chief. He's a first-round pick from 2019, from Georgia. He's only 23. He was released by the Giants this past offseason due to his alleged involvement in an armed robbery in Florida. On Monday, the state attorney's office dropped the charges against Baker and charged South Florida attorney William Dean with extortion. According to several reports, Dean told Baker's attorney that his clients, three men who recanted their statements last week, accusing Baker of victimizing them in a robbery. But guess what? We found out that it wasn't true. They would do anything you want. It said anything you want, so as long as the money is right in regards to figuring this all out. And they tried to extract $266,000 from Baker in what was made up. Stuff was made up. And that's what's scary about this world nowadays. Mm-hmm. That can happen. And so Baker has been cleared of all these charges, and so he has a right to be employed and try to play football. He's only 23, the 30th overall pick in the 2019 draft. As a rookie, played in 16 games, had 61 tackles, started 15 games. Could be a good pickup for the Chiefs, no doubt about it. And he's young. And can you get him on the cheap here in this situation? The Giants did release him in September, so they didn't allow the process to work itself out. They just cut him and let him go. That's unfortunate for the Giants, but it could be the Chiefs' gain. But when people sit here and say, well, we got another Tyreek Hill, we got another this, the Chiefs don't care about character. Listen, read the story. This was made up. This was all extortion against him. We all could have been victims of this. Mm-hmm. So because somebody else tried to extort DeAndre Baker, the Chiefs shouldn't give him a chance. He didn't even do anything. It doesn't sound like he did anything wrong in this situation. He was a victim.
It didn't sound like it, yeah.
So the Chiefs, apparently, the rich get richer, as they say, and the Chiefs get another real good athlete, and this time to help their defense. We'll see if he can contribute later on this season.